Well, good morning and happy Resurrection Day. Today we're going to take a break from 1 Corinthians. We're going to take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And I titled this, Do You Believe? When Jesus, when he was talking to Martha on his way to Lazarus' grave, had this discussion, and it's picking up in John chapter 11, verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come in the world, come into the world. And then Jesus did go to raise Lazarus from the dead. Paul had wrote in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. So we see those who died in Christ, those alive and believe in Christ, will rise to meet him in the clouds when that day comes, when he comes for his church. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus conquered death. He rose so we would have that living hope, that hope now of everlasting life. Let's read two Mark's verses here. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for this day, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, Lord, for his sacrifice for us, Father, for our sins on the cross, Father, and that He rose again on the third day, giving us that hope of eternal life, Lord. Lord, as we go through your word today, I pray that it would bring to our remembrance your son Jesus and what he did for us. We thank you for everything you do. We thank you for this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. And that today is what I want to do. Bring to remembrance what Christ has done for us. Not only on the cross, his death, but that he rose again on the third day. That he now sits with the Father. He now argues on our behalf. So it starts off, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Probably buying the myrrh and the aloes necessary to prepare the body, maybe not knowing that it was already previously done. It says, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now it's interesting, Matthew says, at dawn. Luke agrees and says, hey, it was early in the morning. And John, in chapter 20, verse 1, says, while it was still dark. So we see four different Gospels, three different ways to describe early in the morning, all reporting the stone rolled away and Jesus was missing. Each Gospel account being described by the writer who wrote through either interviews or personal accounts of what they saw and heard. Mark here writing directly, most likely from what Peter had shared. And this, he probably wrote anywhere between the late 50s and the early 60 AD. So when we look at this, we do not see any real discrepancies here. Just different observations of the same event that was written down, where all the important facts match. It is the different observations all describing the exact event, thus verifying the event to be true. And this is what I believe is one of our strongest arguments for historical events around Jesus Christ's resurrection. Because if it was manufactured, it would be written the same story. Everybody would have aligned exactly the same. And you're going to see differences. Everybody giving a little extra detail in the different Gospels. And it is interesting to note also the prophecy of the burial place. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9 says, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Roman practice, after a crucifixion, the bodies either were left to decompose or dumped into a mass grave. Ulpian, who was a lawyer at that time and wrote a lot of books of law that the Romans incorporated, comes out of book number 9 on the office of the proconsul. He had written this, the bodies of those who are condemned to beheading are not to be denied to their relatives. Even the holy Augustus writes in the 10th book of his life that he observed this. But today the body of those who are condemned are not buried otherwise than if it has been requested and permitted. And sometimes it is not permitted, especially for the sake of the majesty of the condemned. The bodies of those who are condemned to be burned can also be requested, namely so that the bones and ashes collected can be given for burial. And we can see how lawyers learn to write over time. Amazing. So here he is, new rock, hewn tombs with rolling stones. These things would have only been by the rich, purchased by the rich, because they were too expensive. It was too much work to do it. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57, that Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, requested the body from Pilate and laid Jesus in that new tomb that was cut in the rock. Luke recorded this in chapter 23, verse 52. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before, fulfilling the prophecy which the rich in his death he has laid. All four Gospels independently reporting the honorable burial, attesting to the fulfillment of the prophecy. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" So now they're thinking, hey, what are we going to do? How are we going to move this stone? Who is going to help us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Matthew's account tells us there was a great earthquake, and an angel rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it, giving us the explanation of what happened. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So they saw two surprises. First, that stone was rolled away. And then they walk in and there's this young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And that alarmed in the Greek means to throw into terror or amazement. So we see that unlike the Roman guards, who shook for fear of him and became like dead men, we see that in Matthew chapter 28, the women were comforted by the angels here. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So go ahead, take a look. This is where he was. See the robe, the wraps, the napkin folded. The angel telling him that you are at the correct tomb. This is where he was." We read in Luke, who more than likely as a physician interviewed many people on this subject. He wrote this in chapter 24, verse 5. It says, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?' And they remembered his words." So the angel telling them and reminding them. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter,